Blog Talk Radio.
About that big intro. Good evening. This is Chris Chadwick, and welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Smoke. Live, on the air, it's real, it's live, it's all about you and the Q. We are going to have a good night tonight. Thanksgiving is coming up. It's right around the corner. I know we're going to be cooking a lot of turkeys this week. I know I would love to talk some turkey tonight and just see who's cooking what and how they're cooking it. So I want everybody to call in tonight. I'm inviting everyone to call in because this show is about you, the barbecue team, the patio pit master, the everyday cook. It is about you. We love to talk barbecue. We love to talk cooking. We love to talk flavor profiles. We want to talk to you. The number to call is 1-347-202-0263. I'm going to wear that number out tonight because I want you, the listener, to call in and be a part of the show because, hey, that's what this show is about. And without you, we wouldn't have a show. So call in. The number to call is 1-347-202-0263. I'm inviting all of you, all the listeners out there tonight, to call in. Would love to hear from you if you just want to call in and say, hey, what's up? I love you. You suck. Whatever. We want to hear it. So give us a call. The number again is 1-347-202-0263. And call in and be part of the show tonight. This is Chris Chadwick, and this is Let's Talk Smoke. And I am just excited about this next coming week. Got a lot of cooking going on everywhere. I know I've got a lot of friends doing a lot of serious cooking this week. We've had a big weekend. I know there's been some big shows. The National Barbecue Cup, Cummins, Georgia. I know they had a world of teams down there from all over down competing. I know they had a good cook. I think the weather was really nice. It's been a beautiful day today. Would have been a perfect day to be cooking something slow and low all day today. It would be supper time right now, and we would be digging into some, maybe a shoulder, a butt, a big old brisket. Wouldn't that be nice? But we're going to talk some Q tonight. We're going to have some callers call in. We're just going to take everybody's call. Like I say, I want you to call in. This is a show about you, me. It's a show that we can discuss whatever we want to talk about. You know, we'll just bring it up. We'll talk it and hopefully learn. We'll all learn something from it. You know, that's what it's all about, barbecue. We love barbecue. We breathe barbecue. We talk barbecue every day. And I'm just excited to be able to be here with BarbecueSuperstars.com here on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't get to listen to it live tonight, hey, click on archives, check it out during the week. I mean, you won't be the only one. We've just got barbecue superstars all over the United States. They're listening to shows every night. We've got a great lineup of shows from Sunday to Saturday, full week, every week. There's great hosts. They have great topics. They have great guests, which me, every caller is a guest, and I appreciate every caller. I don't schedule guests because I want everybody to call in and let's talk smoke. Let's talk about what you want to talk about. That's what it's all about. Hey, that's what I'm here for, and that's what I want to do every Sunday night. The number to call is 1-347-202-0263, and we'll have a big time. So y'all just call in and let's talk smoke. And let's get the show on. We've got callers already on hold tonight. Let's see if we can get them queued in, and we will see what's going on with these callers. Caller 731-609, who have we got?
Hey, Chris, it's Cousin Ned. How you doing, brother?
Hey, Cousin Ned. Robert Taylor, Taylor Smokehouse Farms. How you doing tonight?
Oh man, we're a little bit tired. Been cooking since Thursday night. We started out there in Birmingham. We did about 320 bucks for a ball team out there. And you see my photos. We got at the Summit and Fire Department. There, somebody thought the building was on fire. We had some smoke coming over the top of it and steam. And you know, the weather was just right where it was pouring out of that 6-inch pipe. And I had something going, so we're going down the road.
I didn't see your post on Facebook. You were letting the smoke roll, brother. I mean, that's all it was about. You was letting it roll. And did you have to feed the firemen when they come in?
No, we just got it on. They, of course, a bunch of guys, they want to see the grill. So we got them up there on Hogzilla, gave them a good peek of we had about 280 loaded on the big one, and gave them a quick peek show, and gave them some cards, passed out a few cards, see if we can't do them a fundraiser for their volunteer fire department down there. And great bunch of guys. They understand. I apologize. You know, they did their diligence in checking out to make sure. We were night we came back up to John up there. We took for about two or three different groups there. We did about 500 butts, about 220 turkeys and 40-something hams that night. And last night we did, we did about 60, 70 butts, another 60-something turkeys and another 40 or 50-something hams last night. Tonight's my first. I'm on a night off till Thanksgiving, so I'm heading back from an old pressure washer one. I wear up about two handles a year cleaning these grills, so I'm on the way home right now.
Man, that's a lot of meat. That's a lot of meat to be on that smoker. You know, we're going to talk turkey tonight. I know there's a lot of guys out there. There's a lot of guys this week who are going to be smoking turkeys. I know personally I've got about 50 turkeys to smoke, and, hey, that's a lot for me to be doing. And, I mean, you know, I'm gonna bring the big fat boy out. I'm going to load her down and let the smoke roll. And I guess I'm going to cook them about, I don't know, depending on the weather and how it is. You know, it's been a beautiful day today, beautiful weekend. And I think it's going to really go smooth if tomorrow is as nice. And, you know, as Tuesday is as nice as today was, I don't think I had to be doing a lot of work, especially feeding that old smoker.
Yeah. Well, we've been cooking our turkeys right. You know, typically, we cook at about 325, and it takes. We do a 12 to 14 pound turkey fundraising. It's a great middle of the road. One of the most popular sized turkeys out there as far as what they sell.
Right.
And, for fundraising, 12 to 14s are perfect. It's not 10 to 12s are just steroids, chickens on steroids.
Right,
and then
right.
You get your large ones. They're beautiful turkeys. We can cook them, but for fundraising purposes, it really kind of defeats you. Both. You know, we try to keep it in a $35 to $40 range as far as what people are doing on their turkeys. So those are just perfect turkeys, and we've been typically, we're doing about 325 for about 3.5 hours. We'll usually knock them out in that speed. But here lately, we've just kind of let them down about 225, and we cook them about 8 hours and just gently bring them along. And they've been turning out beautiful. I mean, some beautiful turkey. I'll try to get a picture of it and post it this week.
Yeah, that'll be good. I was thinking they'll probably stay really moist, cooking them low and slow like that, especially a turkey being a dry bird, you know, sort of anyhow.
Yeah, and, they do.
Do you? So when you put them in that smoker and you kick them up about 225 on an 8-hour time, are you doing any kind of? Are you doing anything other than rubbing it down during the process?
Well, we do a poultry seasoning on it on the front end, and. Of course, when we're doing hundreds and hundreds of them, there's not a lot of brining and processing, which
right.
you might be doing on your personal birds and stuff like that. But, no, we get them thawed to a certain degree. A lot of them, some of them are even just about froze, but we'll get them thawed down at least where the surface has the moisture where we can get them. And then when you just put them in there, we'll run them at about 200 for a couple hours just to get that thawing process going, and then we'll load the wood in there and start smoking it, and they turned out some absolutely beautiful turkeys. Some you just have to adjust based on the point which your thaw it is. I'd rather pull a froze neck bone out of there. There's one that got thawed a little too early, and it doesn't take long for them to turn. You got them too early, so. But everybody's doing a good job of their thawing, and so we're just excited about this past week. And we've had three great nights of cooking, I should say. And I've got Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night, I'm back on the road in Grenada, Mississippi. Be down in South Panola over in Batesville for the softball program then. And I'll be back home Wednesday night, Thursday morning for Thanksgiving here in Bolivar, Tennessee at the Walmart. And we'll be due turkeys and hams that morning, about 100 of each, I believe, for the local animal control volunteer program here. We've helped them raise probably about $30,000 to $40,000 in the last 4 or 5 years for their stray. You know, they work with the animal control in the county, and they got an old shed barn that was at the landfill, and through fundraising, mostly to the barbecue fundraisers over the last 5 years, they've been able to, go ahead and concrete and board it up, put kennels in there. And we're doing about 2 to 3 fundraisers a year for them to help sustain their program, buying some new buildings, fence-in areas where they can let dogs out. And so they're really adopting out a lot of dogs. But we're that's part of our community, and we're in conjunction with them for that.
That's right. Well, I mean, that's what it's about. You know, we all, as barbecuers, I'll say this once, I've said it 100 times, I'll say it 1,000 times more, if not more. You know, us as barbecuers, we're always out there helping. We always want to do for others, and we're always wanting to contribute to a good cause. You know, that is something that I think that is instilled. That is, that is part of being how we've been raised, and that's something that's instilled in us, but that's something that you don't see as much anymore, over countrywide, I mean, as a whole population. But you see this barbecue community, if you get on Facebook and you've got 500 friends or 1,000 barbecue friends out there on Facebook, you're always seeing, if you just read a few posts every so often, you'll always see someone doing a fundraiser or helping or contributing. You know, as a whole, the barbecue family and community is really a strong moral. They have strong values and morals, and they're there to support and help. You know, I love to help, and I love to see people prosper. You know, and if you can make a little money too, that helps pay the electric bill. You know what I mean?
Oh, so, absolutely.
You know, I mean, that's part of it, and I don't begrudge a man an honest dollar, him out there helping and doing and trying to make a living, support his family, which in turn is doing something good and helping others. I mean, that's what it's all about. You know, I'm a big advocate of that, and I support it. And I think a lot of the barbecuers in general do. You know, it's like any other community, of course, you're going to have a few out there to say this or that. You know, but the good outweighs the bad in the barbecue world. And that's what I have so many strong feelings about, being in the barbecue community. You know, we all catch, you've always got somebody, and they always are going to say something negative, And in a world of negatives, when you're around barbecuers, you're pretty much in a world of positives around that. So, that's a blessing to be a part of that community. And I'm it's like the 3 Musketeers, all for one for all, that kind of deal. And, hey, I'm in it. I'm in it to stay. And it's what I'll be doing. You know, they'll have a little grill on my coffin when they bury me. You know, it's gonna, you know, it's instilled in me. It's in my blood, and that's just how I feel about it. But you know, we just love to, Thanksgiving time's coming around. It's time to be thankful. I know everybody's already focusing on Christmas, but Thanksgiving, it's time for us to give thanks, and I'm just excited about Thanksgiving. You know, this talking turkey tonight, I mean, that's going to be one of the big subjects. You know, you already give out a whole lot of information right there in no time, and we're going to keep you on as long as we can and bring you in and out because,
sure.
You know, there's a lot of guys out there that's wanting to smoke turkeys this year that probably has never smoked the first one. And, you know, that's what it's about, getting in it and getting involved and doing it, hands-on. And that's how you learn, is hands-on. But you don't want to have to be cooking 20 or 30 and learning how to do it the first time. I mean, that's going to be that's kind of rough. I couldn't imagine somebody just, you know, taking out their first cooking and they say, well, you're going to smoke turkeys and not have a clue what to do.
You gotta have your hands for that 50 you got, so.
Oh, son, I have no, you know, I thought.
A lot of birds.
I thought, and I'm keeping mine all around 12 to 14, 15 pounds. Around 12 to 14 pounds is what all mine are going to be.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a lot of work for me, you know, considering, I mean, I like to cook in mass. You know, I'm like a Robert Irvine dinner impossible kind of guy. You know, I'm ready to light the fires and get her going and let the smoke roll, you know, but.
Sure.
But with 50 turkeys, that's a lot of birds. That's a lot of big, fat chickens.
Yeah, it is. It is. We do probably, I don't know, it's a little off this year. You know, the economy has hit a lot of folks hard. And it's, you know, a lot of people's counts are down as far as fundraisers go. But still, we've had years where we've cooked anywhere from 500 to 700 turkeys this time of year. And along with Boston Butts and as well as ham, spiral sliced ham. And they all factor in, especially like, and don't discount doing some Boston Butts at time of year as well, because a lot of football games going on, a lot of people, they just want a little different something besides the turkey and ham. They like to eat a little barbecue nachos or something along that lines on off day with all this football coming up this weekend. And so don't discount the Boston Butts or your shoulders and your pulled pork products for this this next week as well. If you've got friends or family coming down from out of town, you know, it's an optimal scenario is to have that alternative meat just totally kind of in a different direction from your traditional Thanksgiving stuff. Leftovers to serve to folks, so you've got a lot of avenues to really entertain this week, and the smoked meat products are absolutely off the hook. Just for appetizers or pork loin, you know, those are phenomenal. Smoked pork loin with a good full flavored bark, cheese and cracker. You take those bad boys up and you slice them and put some cheese and crackers out. I tell you, that another something. For just, you know, the holiday weekend coming up, Thanksgiving. And so don't discount different pieces of meat out there just because you're doing turkeys and hams. I mean, get your pork loin or something, a slab of ribs, throw it on in there with, you know.
You know, that's one good thing about us barbecuers. Hell, we know how to eat, don't we? We know what good food is.
Absolutely.
That's part of the passion.
Absolutely. We've been blessed this week with some great weather, and we've had some great cooks, some awesome folks, and, you know, we're still helping people. I mean, the economy's rough and it's tough, and there's a lot of schools still vying for a lot of funds, and these teams and these kids travel. I mean, most of what we do helps children, and like I said, animal control and ministries, things like that. But I had a great time up in New York a couple of weeks ago cooking for those folks up there. And, you know, like you said, we you may not see everything on people's Facebook. They might not talk about everything. But there's a lot of guys out there doing a lot of great work for a lot of different folks.
No doubt. You're right. There's a lot of guys out there cooking, and you know that Operation Barbecue Relief there. I know you were a part of it. There's a lot of other guys out there that's working their tails off, working hard. And, you know, that's commendable. That's just a way to go. And
sure.
I mean, it's a lot of work involved. I mean, you go cook 10 butts or 10 shoulders for somebody. That's a hell of a lot of work that nobody realizes. I mean,
these barbecue competitions
are not just going and drinking beer with the buddies and cooking something on the grill. You know, it's serious competition. When you go, you know, these guys are, I know I'm spending $500, $1,000, and I'm a little time guy. I'm not a big time guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that hurts to spend that much. When you go, you know, you're serious and you want to get your game face on and cook. I love to have fun, and I have fun at these competitions.
Sure.
But, you know, I'm there to put out the best product I can, and it never fails. It doesn't matter how hard you try. Sometimes when it's time to turn it in, there's something not exactly right. You don't feel good. I mean, that is just the bottom line. It happens. It happens to the world champions, the biggest of the big boys, to the smallest of the guys that's cooking on the Webers. I mean, it happens to everybody. And, you know, that's part of the game, too. Well, let's say we've got some other callers. Hold on. Don't go anywhere, but let me get these other callers on and see who else we have.
Yeah, bring them on in.
All right, 731-415. Who have we got there?
Probably me, Chadwick.
That's me. Me, welcome to the show. Keith Webb, Pirate Pork. How you doing tonight?
Pretty good, I reckon.
Wonderful, wonderful. Are you getting ready for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I think so. Trying to, I guess.
Well, tell all the listeners what are you doing? What's Pirate Pork doing for Thanksgiving?
Well, we're just still finally finishing up where we're going and who we were today. So what we got going on. And then yesterday found out we're smoking a turkey, too.
Really? Well, welcome to the big boy crew.
I found out yesterday. I was like, practice.
That's right. It's time to light that backwoods up and let the smoke roll out of that little bad boy and get something on. That's no doubt about it.
That'll be the first turkey I do on it, so that'll be fun.
Well, I've got my big rig out, got an extra chef built on it this past week. I'm going to be burning that bad boy out tomorrow, and I hope to have about 50 big fat turkeys on there, smoke rolling.
Picture that'd be pretty.
Yeah, I'm going to, you know, and I'm going to do it more traditional. I've got a few people that want barbecue turkey, you know, like a barbecue. Something like we'd do a shoulder, you know, inject it, rub it down, sauce it before it's finished up, you know, a good red turkey, a smoked red turkey. But I'm going to do the others more traditional with a good poultry rub that I'm going to make up, fill it full of butter inside, rub it down with canola oil, you know, to give it a good crisp, hopefully a good, well, a crisper skin. And I hope it's going to, you know, I think it's going to be spot on. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be fine, no doubt about it. And I'm just excited about getting them all lit up because, you know, when it gets in our blood, we like to cook at least two or three times a week. I know I do. I just don't get to that often.
Yeah, definitely.
So anything in the works for Pirate Pork right now?
No, I don't think so. Unless something pops up, we're starting to kind of plan and work on figuring out what we're going to do about getting our cooker set up on a trailer, kind of like what me and you discussed a little bit about. Start trying to plan that for the winter and the off season. Maybe we can get that thing set up a little bit better for this next year.
Well, that sounds, you know, this is kind of going to be a downtime, and I know December, January here in Tennessee, the weather's going to get cold, and there's not going to be any type of comp series going on, any kind of cooks. And I know I'm thinking I've got a big boy stomps coming in. I'm not sure what model it is or anything, and I've got to figure out how I'm going to incorporate that into what I have now because, you know, my old smoker, it's a stick burner offset that I built, but it's hard. You know, it's going to be hard for me to let that go anywhere.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know what I'm saying? When you get used to your cooker, it's hard to change over. I mean, we can always adapt and overcome. That's not the issue. It's just I sure would hate to not use that big cooker anymore, you know, because I've cooked all categories on that bad boy, one temperature, and just learned how to do it. And when you shove it on them old hickory coals, you just got to keep the smoke rolling and keep that flavor infused. Especially, I like to heavy smoke my stuff. And, you know, a lot of this new stuff, you know, I don't think you can heavy smoke it like something like, you know, like a design like I have. Can you, let me ask you a question on that backwoods you have. I know you're using your lump coal. Do you ever put you put your sticks, your hickory chunks? Are you using Mojo bricks now? Didn't you try the Mojo brick? You like that?
I did that. Yeah, when we went to Kentucky, it was the first time I used it. What was that? No. We did Paris Landing was the first time I used them. And I like it. And I think you could put some heavy smoke to it. I tried not to. I tried to be real easy with it the first time I was using them. And even in the past, before I started using them, I was using chunks of something, hickory, or if I had ribs, I'd throw some kind of fruit on there or something like that.
Right.
So I think, and they're so tight and so enclosed, I think you could actually do too much smoke, too. I mean, you could throw it too heavy.
Right, and get a kind of afterbite bitter flavor.
I'm not careful, you can get
some bad smoke in it.
Oh, yeah. And I'm going to play with that Mojo brick a little more this winter. It seemed like it worked pretty good at the... because I used it in Kentucky, too, those two cooks. It seemed like it worked pretty good. I'd like to do more, a few more, you know, especially here at the house where I can push my limits a little farther and see, you know, wasn't nothing I had to turn in and see
right.
how much smoke it takes, you know, and test
you know,
it out.
Right, right. Well, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but, you know, it's not the same at the house as it is a competition. You know, we're fired up. We're really excited about being there, you know, and we got those fires hot, we got those coals glowing, and then we let the smoke roll. And, you know, we just doing what it feels, how it feels good, you know. And I have a big time cooking at home, but I'd much rather be in a competition, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, most of it, yeah. Home for fun and practice.
That's right, fun and practice. And then competition is for more fun and more practice.
Exactly. It's for serious fun. Exactly.
Yeah, for real. That's right. We've got, now I don't know if you were listening in earlier. We also have Robert Taylor on the line with us from Ballmer, Tennessee, with Taylor Smokehouse Farms. He's on the line. And, you know, he just cooks an unreal amount of food. You know, he's got meat on thousands and pounds of meat.
I've heard that the last couple of times I've helped him on here. He's talking about how much meat. I'm like, yeah, that's a bunch. Bunch of food.
You know, what we'll have to do, Keith, one of these days, we'll have to hook up with him and go with him and just be his backup and help him out. You know, we'll run and go get his paper towels and get his rub and just kind of sit back and watch what he's doing.
I'll be in for it.
You'll be toting some cases of meat, too.
Oh!
We're going to put you to work, brother. You show up in my side.
Yeah.
We good at that.
Yeah, we good at that. We good toters, no doubt.
That's actually fun. It's just like when I went and visited Chris when he does a couple of cooks I didn't cook in and went and visited him. You know, to me that's as much fun or even, you know, better because I don't have all the stress of taking care of everything. I'm just kind of like the dummy walking around doing what I'm told. That's fun.
Well, it's always good to have help. I never want to turn help down. It's just some help I can't use as much as others.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, guys, we got another caller on the line. Let me see if I can get him queued in and welcome him to the show. We'll see what's going on here. Caller 580-478. You're on the air with Chris Chadwick. Who we got?
Hey guys, what's going on? It's Roy.
Roy Powell, Salt from the Sky. What's going on tonight?
Oh, not much.
Well, are you glad to be home, Roy?
Yes, I am. I think everybody is glad I'm home, too.
I'm sure they are. Well, tonight we're talking turkeys. We're talking, what have you got in mind for Thanksgiving? What are you going to do to a turkey tonight?
I'm sticking my turkey in the oven. I'm not smoking this year for Thanksgiving. I did one last year, but I'm going the the easy route, I guess, and just going ahead and sticking some butter on it and inside and stick it in the oven.
I can't believe you're going to pop out on us and stick it in the oven this year.
Oh, Roy.
Well, you know, that's a foolproof way of always having a good bird in that oven. I mean, I can cook a 20-pound bird in about 2.5 hours in my oven. And I learned this a while back. I mean, it makes a dynamite bird, I'm telling you. And what I do is I put it in breast side up. I cover my breast up. I cook her on about 500 degrees for 30 to 45 minutes, you know, which I've got my cavity full of butter. I've got it rubbed down. I really put the heat on it. And then I'll turn it over, uncover it, and cook it at 350 for another hour and a half, and she is done. And that's a 20-pound bird now, and I'm telling you, it is a rock star way to do it because, I mean, I have to give Alton Brown the credit on that. I watched him do it one time, and, I mean, I tried it, and, I mean, it was over the top, outstanding. And, you know, it's an oven bird, but it's mighty fine. And it doesn't take any time to do it that way. But, you know, this year, personally, I'm going to be smoking close to 50 turkeys, and I'm going to have my big boy fired up. And she likes to cook at about 250 degrees. And I'm going to let the smoke roll at 250. And I'm just going to leave her in. I figure it's going to take 6 to 8 hours, you know, if I'm not looking and not messing with it. About 6 to 8 hours on it. And I'm excited. I'm excited to get it going. I mean, I'm ready right now. I've got turkeys running out my tail, out my ears. I've got them in my outside refrigerator. I've got them in coolers. I've got them in my inside refrigerator. And then I've got more turkeys coming in tomorrow. I mean, they're just, they are running out my, but you know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. I tell, you know, all my friends, and, you know, my wife and my family and stuff, that I put the butter in Butterball. Because it's,
well,
I'm not going to say how much butter I use because I'll give you a coronary heart attack just to listen to how much I use.
Well, we love butter. Like Paula Dean says, it's always better with butter on it.
Yes, it is.
A little extra stick in it. I agree with you. I do. You know, that goes to talking about a chicken category. You know, some guys, and I've tried this, some guys poach their chicken in butter and just in a butter bath before they ever cook it, you know. And have you ever tried that?
Yeah, that's how I cook my chicken in competitions. I cook it in a butter bath to start out.
Keith, what about you? Have you ever tried the butter bath technique on the chicken thighs?
I think I was wrong, just like he said. I do the same thing.
Is that what you do about every time? See, I've done that one time. I never do butter bath chicken.
Yeah, but you know what my chicken's for, too.
Well, you know, I mean, it always down.
It did go up in my last cook, so.
Well, that's awesome. You know, that's what it's all about, improving. But I'm going to tell you something. I took KCBS judging class, and it helps you. It gives you a lot of insight on what you want to do or what you want to try to present, how you want to present it. But it doesn't matter. It all lays down on what kind of judges you have. They all have different taste buds, you know, different taste profiles. And it's just, if they all like it, you know, that's just bottom line how it goes out. You know, they judge three criteria. But bottom line, if they don't like it, they're not going to score high on it. You know, and most judges are supposed to be open-minded and supposed to really appreciate all food. But, you know, they're, you know, taking that class, I noticed there was a few people, it was kind of harsh because, you know, they really weren't experienced enough to know, I guess, you know, how to judge. And that's what, you know, that's what experience, that's what going to these classes, going to competitions, following the rules, sitting down, and just experience is what's going to make them better. But, man, it seems like I always get one of those newbies at a competition, and it just kills the store. But, you know, like this last cook we did, you know, the cook before and the cook before, you're in different places, you're in different regions, you have different judges. You can cook the same identical thing if that's possible. And then you're going to have three different, completely different scores, you know, and that's every time. You know, it's just difference in regions. And, I mean, you know, don't be disheartened when they kill you and bomb you out like they did me here. I was disheartened. I was upset. I mean, I wasn't mad, but I was just kind of upset because, you know, you're not used to getting those kind of scores, especially when you always score high. But, you know, that's a prime example of just having different judges, and that's how it rolls sometimes. What's your view on that, Roy, Keith, Robert? What's y'all's view on judging?
It's tough.
Y'all start all at once now.
Yeah, and just like you said, it can change in a blink. You know, every event, even at the repeat of an event. I mean, a lot of times I know a couple that I seem to do good at those, and so on a regular basis. But still, again, you know, it can change at any of those, at any time, anywhere.
You know, that's just so true. That is so true. That's just part of being in a barbecue competition. You know, we don't go. I read a post earlier. They were down in Cummins competing, and they just wasn't happy with anything they did. And I said, hey, look at it this way. You're getting to go play. You're getting to have a good time. You're getting to visit with all the friends you haven't got to see in a while. That's what it's all about, you know. And he actually, I guess he agreed with me. But, you know, that's what it's all about. When you get to go cook, you know, we can't win them all. We can't win them all. It don't matter who we are. It don't matter, you know, the best ones out there, they don't win them all. You know, the ones that's in the limelight right now that's on every show, they don't win them all. And that's just part of the barbecue competition. You know, if they won them all the time, nobody else would want to go play anyhow. You know,
I could just win one. What are you talking about, Chris?
Roy, your time's coming. You're due, and your time's coming. Just have that faith, brother. It's going to happen.
Oh, I know. It will. I'm not too worried about it. If I go out there and cook good, you know, good meat, and I'm happy with it, you know, I don't care. You know, I do care what the judges say, but then again, you know, I know how good it is, and fooling
well,
on them, you know, because I'll
yeah,
do that
well,
bad judging one contest, and the next one, you know, be cooking the same, and I'll place in something. So it's just the you know, the what the judges, you know, they might have a different, you know, profile that they like at one contest, and somebody else might like it different. So
that's right. That's exactly right, and that's what it's all about, and it's going to happen. It'll happen that way until the end of the barbecue times, you know, and it's just flavor profiles. It's who's at that table, what judges at that table, and how well they like it that day. You know, how many competitions have you actually competed in, Roy, as a team? I know you've been in Benton, Kentucky, and Clarksville. You've done a few in Clarksville. How many do you think, roughly?
I did, well, KCBS sanctioned, I've done five.
Okay.
Then, you know, not sanctioned by KCBS, I've done three or four. See, I'm looking, you know, total about 10 or so.
Well, you know, see, you're still in it. I mean, you're just really still, you know, a beginner. You know, these big-time cookers, you know, they get out there and shoot, they cook it. Two times a month, three times a month. They stay out on the road each month, you know, and they don't even get to come home. I don't know how they do it, but, you know, they're cooking all the time. And, you know, I don't know if that would burn me out quicker if I cooked all the time or not. You know, I love to cook. I love to cook one or two a month. And because, you know, it takes a week and a half to prep and get ready for a cook for a lot of guys, you know. Some guys it might not. Now, out of that season, out of that eight times, have you had defensive calls?
Well, you've also got to consider, you know, a lot of these guys got some sponsors, you know, helping them out, and they can do it more often than us, you know, small guys to pull a lot of the expenses out of our own pockets. So, I mean, it makes a difference.
That's exactly right. And can you remember your first call?
Yes, I remember my first call.
How did you feel?
I was shocked.
What was the call in?
It was actually my first call. I mean, I didn't actually win anything, but, you know, it was actually in Benton last year. They call, you know, 6 through 10. You know, just honorable mentions, basically.
Right. That's all right. That's
and
small.
Yeah, and I got an eighth place in my brisket.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Benton, Kentucky is a good cook. There's a lot of great cooks there. I mean, for you to get a call or a mention like that at Benton, you're doing something right because, I mean, it's a tough cook, and there's a lot of talent there. And,
go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, you know, we went last year, and me and James Brawner, and we went and cooked and had a great time, met a bunch of great people. That's where we met you for the first time, actually physically met you.
Yeah.
And, you know, we didn't get a call. I mean,
yeah.
But we had a great time, and, you know, that's what it's about. You're not going to get calls every time. And, I mean, the more you cook, the more chances are you'll get a call. I mean,
yeah.
But, you know, that's what it's all about. And, you know, I know, Keith, how many years have you been cooking?
Oh, Lord. God, what did I figure out? It's probably been close seven, eight, maybe doing competition, maybe about seven doing competition.
Well, I know I've asked you before, but I want you to refresh my memory. Can you remember your first walk? Your first call?
Yeah, you asked me that before, and as you and Roy were just talking about that, and you asked me last time, I told you in Brewston, which I was actually wrong, because that was probably my first real organized competition thing, because, you know, we were doing those ones at the campground, which we had 15 teams up at them.
Well, that's a cook. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, we were having pretty good cooks there for a while up there, and that was my first call at one of them on the pulled pork. But I kind of qualified Brewston as my first real call. And I believe that was chicken.
Was that when you won reserve for you?
No, it was actually. Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I got reserve. That was, 2-3 years ago.
I mean, that's an accomplishment, too. You know, Brewston's a good cook. Brewston, Tennessee, Brewston, Nevada. Guys, you're out there listening. That's an awesome cook. There's going to be information on that cook on the Tennessee Barbecue Association on Facebook. Just get in that group. Check it out. It's a great group. There's a great bunch of guys in there. TVA is basically new.
Should be an easy 20 teams this year. Should be easy 20.
I'm thinking it will. And, you know, really, really, I'm going to have a discussion with them, go meet with them. And hopefully that is going to be a TBA-sanctioned event this year. I don't know if we're going to make it happen or not, but it's going to try, you know, because we started. We've got a great group of guys in our TBA, Tennessee Barbecue Association. There's several hundred members in it now, and we've got to take it to the next level. I know everybody seems to say, when are we going to start sanctioning? You know, it hadn't been going a full year yet, and you know, it's a lot of work to work that, too, plus another job, plus other barbecue, plus, you know, doing a team. And what we're going to do is work on that this year and hopefully have several sanctioned events. I know there's a few places that we are going to be able to sanction this year, but we've got to get our rules and guidelines up. And there are several things still that's in the works that's going to happen for TBA next year. 2013 is really going to be an exciting year. We're going to grow a little more. I mean, we can't become huge overnight because there's, you know, it just doesn't work that way. But I'm excited about the Tennessee Barbecue Association. I know we've got a great bunch of guys in there. I know I've had several say I'm willing to do what we need to do to help, you know, and that's important too because you can't do it all yourself. And I'm excited about the Tennessee Barbecue Association, and hopefully this year we'll pick up a few sponsors for the TBA in general. I'm in the works right now with a big company that hopefully we can get in the works that's going to become a Let's Talk Smoke Show sponsor and a Tennessee Barbecue Association sponsor. So more news on that to come as it progresses. You know, I'm excited about that. 2013 is going to be a big year for all of us. I'm feeling it. I know it is. And I'm just looking forward to it. You know, we're going to hook up. We're going to have some big cooks. And we're just going to make some good things happen this coming year. I know another thing we're working on, I'm working on my sauce again. I've kind of put it to the side the last few months, but then I've got all kinds of friends wanting barbecue sauce, and that's in the works. It's going to be in production tomorrow. the Hall County Pitmaster's Pride, I'm going to be kicking it out, and I'm going to be getting it to some of my friends. They're just having a fit over it, you know, so that's happening. So there's a lot of things going on with the TBA, with Hall County Cookers, with me, Chris Chadwick. I know there's going to be some things going on with Roy Powell, the Salt from the Sky, Keith Webb, Pirate Port, all us local teams here. I know Robert Taylor, we're talking about Smokehouse Farms. He's always got some exciting things going on. He's always letting the smoke roll, as we say, and he's cooking thousands of pounds of meat. So, you know, we just having a big time with all that. And you know, when it's positive, it's going to continue to be more positive and more great things are going to happen, and we're going to grow, and I'm excited for that, you know. And with that being said, I do want to give BBQSuperstars.com a big shout-out. Daryl Mast, he is the mastermind behind that. The website, this blog talk show, the whole weekly blog talk show, our blog talk shows it's just skyrocketed. We're spreading the word. We've got listeners all over the country, and I'm very proud of that. We have listeners on our show, several hundred listeners on each show each week from all over the country. I welcome everybody to call in. 1-347-202-0263 is the number to call. This is Let's Talk Smoke Show with Chris Chadwick. The show is about you and the Q, and that's what it's always about. That's why I want you to call in and be a part of the show. Don't be shy. Give us a call. Say something. I'm ready to get some more callers on the line. We've got a board full now. We want more callers calling in. And just call in, say hi, just tell us what's going on, give us an idea, ask a question. It doesn't hurt to call in. It's no biggie. We'd love to have you call, because once you call once, you're going to call once, you're going to call again, you're going to call again, you're going to call again. If you're like we are, you love to talk barbecue, you love to cook, you love to eat, you love to go to competitions, you're an events organizer, whatever, give us a call, let us know what it's about, because all these guys on the line right now are callers that call in all the time, and we love them. We're glad they call in. We always want them to call in because that's what it's all about, the barbecue cook, the barbecue event, the barbecue show. Give us a call in, 1-347-202-0263. We're going to talk turkey a little more tonight, and we're going to bring up whatever else comes into play, so give us a call. All right, guys. Well, Robert was telling us he's cooking all kind of turkeys. I'm gonna give a recap of what he said, and then we're gonna get a little more info out of him. The ideal bird size most everybody recommends as far as smoking a turkey is between 12 and 14 pounds. Now, you know, if you're smoking her around 225 to 250, you're looking at a time span and a window of about 6 to 8 hours, depending on weather conditions in cookers. Now, if you're cooking it a little hotter, around 300, 325, you're going to cut that time in half. And that's amazing. That 100 degrees is going to cut that time in half, but it does. He cooks hundreds and hundreds of turkeys all the time. He likes to rub his turkeys. And I know he is a big advocate of fruit wood, and he uses cherry. That's his wood of choice. We've got Keith Webb on here. He's smoking his this year. Keith, what flavor are you going to use in your wood, in your turkey this year?
Well, I ain't even thought about it, Chris. I'm probably going to stick with traditional. Probably just go with the herbs and probably just do it. Since I ain't never cooked well in this cooker, I'm going to try to keep it simple.
Well, you know how they always say, you know, especially on Food Network, you ever watch any shows on Food Network? Simple, 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 simple. But they don't look simple when they're cooking them. But, you know, they always preach simple. And, you know, I've got several turkeys I'm going to be smoking this year. I will be posting pictures of these turkeys on Facebook with this grill loaded down. This rig is going to be loaded. Going to be smoking. We're going to have some big old fat chickens is what some people call them. But, no, we're going to have some big turkeys on there. We're going to let smoke roll. We're going to be cooking them up. And we've got Roy Powell from the Soft Food Sky Barbecue Team at Parsable. And Roy's going to cop on us this year. He's going to cook his in the oven.
I'm using a new type of wood. It's called GE.
GE wood. There you go.
Yep.
Well, there's nothing wrong with GE. But traditional flavors, you know, and I've got people asking me all the time, how are you smoking yours? What are you doing? I'm smoking mine. I'm going to use a light hickory smoke on mine. I'm not going to smoke them heavy deep. So they're going to be golden instead of dark. And I'm going to use a good homemade poultry rub that I'm going to mix up on them. And I'm going to rub mine down with canola oil. And I'm going to stuff them, probably put a stick or two of butter in each bird. And I think that's just going to be an ideal, you know, a basic poultry rub with a good salt and pepper base in it. You can't never go wrong using salt and pepper. I'm sorry, but salt and pepper is a key ingredient in any rub out there. Favorite rub, it doesn't matter. Salt and pepper is one, some of my favorite anyhow. But, you know, you've got guys out there smoking them, barbecue saucing them down, injecting them. With, you know, I've got guys that tell me they're going to inject them with a chicken stock souped up with a few goodies in the chicken stock to go in there. There's all kinds of way to be smoking turkey. If you've got a special way that you're smoking your turkey this Thanksgiving, give us a call and share it with us if you'd like to. The number is 1-347-202-0263. Call us and let's talk smoke. Tell us a little about what you're going to be doing on your turkeys. We'd love to hear from you.
Thank you a lot.
And give us an idea of what's going on. That's all this is. It's simple to do. Just give us a call and let's talk smoke. Let's talk barbecue. If you're going to be cooking, if you're not cooking turkeys, tell us what you are cooking. Are you cooking hams? Are you cooking shoulders? Are you cooking duck, turduckins? Just, has anybody cooked a turducken?
Hi.
I've always wanted to try. I personally haven't cooked a turducken. That's a turkey and a chicken and a duck. What is it? A chicken stuffed in a duck, stuffed in a turkey. You know, I've seen them done, but I've never done one personally. None of y'all have done turducken?
Not me.
Well, that's going to be one thing we need to do one of these days. We're going to have a turducken category, and let's cook it. Let's see who's going to pull it out of the hat, so to speak.
Yeah.
But we're picking up a little interference, but guys, y'all just deal with it. It'll go away, and we'll just keep talking smoke. I'm looking for some new callers to call in also. We always welcome a new caller. I know we've got callers out there that would love to call, but hey, they don't want to, but you do. Give us a call, 1-347-202-0263, where everybody is a barbecue superstar. Here, the show is about you, and that's what we want to know. We want to talk smoke. Tell us something good. Tell us what you're doing to your turkey, what else you're cooking for Thanksgiving. We'd love to hear. Well, guys, I'm gonna get a little off the barbecue real quick and ask you. We'll just start with you first, Keith. What are you gonna have with your turkey this year?
Oh man, I don't know. They all fixing all that stuff. I heard most of the traditional stuff. I heard about some green beans and the rolls and kind of the same stuff. I think I'm gonna sneak something in on them. I ain't figured it out yet. Throw something poker to throw at them too. I ain't figured out what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw something non-traditional at them, though.
Well, that's all right. You know, traditional is great. I love traditional foods. But something non-traditional is even that much better sometimes. You know, something new that we don't eat all the time.
Well, this time about I got a deer on the way. And what Robert was saying a while ago, I may take that loin and put it on there. Put a couple of those on there. That'd be something.
It would be.
They're absolutely phenomenal this time of year.
Well, Robert, what are you going to do with your tradition? What are you going to have with your Thanksgiving meal?
Well, personally, I love sweet potatoes, sweet potato casseroles, things along that line. I love the green bean casseroles. Of course, the old family standard biscuit and cornbread stuffings are, you know, dressed. I absolutely love that. And I like a low sage dressing. I don't like a lot of sage in mine, but I tell you, I love pumpkin pies and sweet potato pies. But it's called a pumpkin chiffon or sweet potato chiffon pie that I absolutely love. And really, the only difference is if you beat up some egg whites, you know, like a meringue.
Yep.
And
yep.
Fold that into your mixture. It is unbelievable that the difference in texture. A light, you know, some people don't like the heavier flavors of the pumpkin or the sweet potato, but it kind of lightens up the flavor. But it's such a melt in your mouth, unbelievable. For this time of year, it is off the hook, man. I tell you, if you ever tried, anybody out there who's going to make a pumpkin pie, just go ahead and beat up some egg whites with a little sugar and stuff and fold that off into your pie mix.
Right.
It absolutely sets it off. It's so light, and it's like you eat a slice and you don't hardly even smell it. It's just so light on you, especially after a good heavy meal. You know, we all with the hams and turkeys.
I know it.
An absolutely delightful dessert to cap off any Thanksgiving meal.
That does sound really, it sounds good. I love sweet potatoes. I love pumpkins. I love pumpkin pie, sweet potato casserole. You know, which we're not far away from Lexington, Tennessee, which is Tater Town, USA, sweet potato capital of the world is what they proclaim.
That's right.
They have Tater Day, a Tater Day parade. They do have a nice, which I'm a part of this most every year. They do have a barbecue showdown cook-off, and it's also there. It's a small community, and this barbecue competition, they provide you with extra meat to cook. I mean, it's work. It's a job because you're going and competing in the piece, but also you're doing basically a big picnic. You know, and it takes a few professional teams to want to go do that because it's a lot of work, a lot of extra cooking, a lot of preparation. You know, we kick out a full course meal during the competition and feed hundreds of people that when they come in the gate, it's a big fundraiser there for the ladies' organization, the community. And it's a great cook-off, and a lot of work, but it's a cook-off. You know, when you love to cook like I do, or, you know, you got these barbecue teams that want to go cook. you know, it's just a great thing to do. And it's a lot of joy, but it's a lot of work involved, too. But you need to check it out. It's the Drive to Storm Labor Day. And it's just a wonderful cook-off. I strongly suggest if you're a local team, go check it out. Roy, what about you? What are you doing extra with your Thanksgiving meal this year?
Well, we went over to a friend's house here in Clarksville, so we, you know, kind of divided up, you know, everybody to bring something. But yeah, we're still doing, you know, the regular standard traditional stuffing, you know, made mashed potatoes and sweet potatoes with. I got to have marshmallows on mine, so I don't know about anybody else.
Yeah.
Yep. I got to have that. And it's a friend of ours that's, you know, we're going over there. She makes her cornbread stuffing. I'm more used to my mom's stuffing there from Oklahoma. She makes more of a traditional style stuffing, but she puts oysters in hers.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I'm more used to, but it you know, she, a friend of ours that's here, she's originally from Georgia, you know, so I guess they're really big into cornbread stuffing. So we're going to, you know, have all the basic necessity food.
Well, that really sounds good, too. You know, a Thanksgiving meal, anything you cook with a turkey and dressing is going to be off the chain anyhow. I mean, but let me tell you, you know, you make this good old giblet gravy. I use the gizzard and the liver, the neck bone. I do onions and boiled eggs in my giblet gravy. That's always killer on, and I like a little extra sage in mine. I'm a sagey kind of guy. I like that sage, but a good old dressing, a big turkey to go with it. Of course, a green bean casserole is always, you can't go wrong with a green bean casserole on Thanksgiving, topped with some good old fried onions and a good cream of mushroom base with onions in it and mushrooms. I also use sour cream in mine, so I mean, it makes it awesome. It makes an awesome dish. There's a corn casserole my mom makes. It's just totally, you know, I know everybody's got a story about what something their mom cooks. Well, she makes this cornbread, this corn casserole that's really just killer. I mean, you just, there's not going to be any left. I mean, and that's just the way it is. And I do a special thing. Actually, I actually turn this into, I don't know if any of y'all read or have heard of Barbecue Times. They're out of Georgia. Audrey Evans. I sent her this recipe for the Barbecue Times this past week. And I don't know if it'll go in that actual edition or not, but I do a head of cauliflower. And I'm going to break it down for you. If you never have had it, you try it, you're going to love it. It's just off the chain. It's a head of cauliflower. It's very simple. Take it, prep it, trim it up, you know, get all your green off the bottom, throw it in the microwave for about 10 minutes, steam it, heat it up real good with a butter, salt, and pepper over the top of it. Once it comes out of the microwave, let it rest a few minutes. Take a 50-50 mix of mustard and mayonnaise. Mix it together. Coat the whole head of cauliflower. Once you do that, you take your favorite cheese. I prefer a sharp cheddar. I love cheddar, but some people use Colby Jack. Take a pepper jack. It doesn't matter. Take a sharp cheddar. Coat the whole head with cheese. Now, here's something I like to do. Bacon makes anything better. I fry up a few pieces of bacon. I'll chop it up fine and throw in that cheddar cheese. I put it in the oven at 350 and bake it for another 5 to 10 minutes until that cheese has melted and starting to turn, starting to brown just a little bit. I pull it, a thin slice of fresh green onion, and top it and voila, you've got an awesome dish that everybody will go crazy over. It's simple to make, an inexpensive dish, and they will be talking about it for weeks. Now, I'm telling you, mark my words, you try that out, and you send me a text and let me know if you like it or not. I guarantee you're going to love it. If you love cauliflower, if you love cheese, if you love bacon, you can't go wrong. You'll love this dish. But that's kind of what I'm going to do for Thanksgiving. So, anybody.
Y'all making me hungry. Talking about all this food. I'm basically going there and make me something.
Well, you know, Sunday evenings is a great time to have this talk show. I love doing it. I just love to do it, you know, which I'm constantly cooking every day anyhow. If I'm not in the kitchen, I'm outside cooking. If I'm not outside cooking, I'm back inside the kitchen cooking every night. But I've got the luxury. I've got a 10-year-old daughter here, and she's frying country ham and eggs tonight. So we're going to do a big breakfast tonight. When I get through the radio show, we're going to have a big old southern fried piece of country ham, fried eggs, and probably some homemade biscuits. So that's supper tonight for me, guys. I don't know what to say.
I'm coming over for supper.
You know what? The door is always open. Come on, you're invited. Hell, everybody's invited.
I hear you, brother. I love some biscuits, I tell you, man. And biscuit and cornbread. I'm weak in bread. I love every kind of bread, from French bread to croissants with that honey butter on them. It's just, breads are a definite weakness with me. That cauliflower sounded awesome. Have you ever tried that and maybe drizzle just a little bit of your barbecue rub over it after you got it out of the steamer, just for a little salt, pepper aspect?
Yeah, well, you know, I believe this or not, you know, I'm a barbecuer. I mean, I had the other morning for breakfast, last week's competition, I had some leftover brisket and I had some leftover baby back ribs. Well, I took some out, I sliced me some brisket, heated that up, sliced them, what left of baby back ribs I had, a couple pieces of white bread on a big platter, and that was my breakfast. You know, I've got barbecue in my veins, and what can I say? I, you know, and you can definitely tell by looking at me, I'm a bread lover because I carry a loaf around my waist all the time.
Absolutely.
Well, guys, have y'all got a special recipe tonight you'd like to share with us? Any of y'all got one? We've got another caller online. Just hold that thought. Let me get this caller in and see if we can get him in the conversation and see what's going on. But, yeah, we're just having a big time here on the Chris Chadwick Show here on BarbecueSuperstars.com, BlogTalkRadio.com. The show about, it's always about you and the Q. Call in, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. The number to call is 1-347-202-0263. We would love to hear from you because it's all about you and the Q. Okay, guys, I mean, just be thinking about a good recipe. And I'm gonna call you out, and you're gonna have to come up with something fire for us, because you know it's what it's all about: cooking, barbecuing. You know, these backyard categories are anything but categories. You know, the sky's the limit. Most of the time, it's got to be a protein. If there's not a big sponsor involved in the event, then the sky's the limit. You can cook whatever you want to cook. It doesn't matter. As long as it's on the eat category. And I always like to know what everybody cooks in the backyard event or the anything but category. And, you know, we always try to break it up every so often. We've got a couple winners that usually always walk with. But I like to do different things. I don't always want to use the same thing over, 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 over. So, Roy, have you got any special backyard anything but category dish that you do?
Well, you know, back in June, whenever we did the Wounded Warrior, you know, cook-off up here in Clarksville, they had an anything-but category. And they gave you 1 pound of sausage that had to incorporate into whatever you was making. So, right. And it's, I kind of threw something together, kind of, you know, thought of it, you know, a couple days prior. And, I mean, I didn't practice it. I didn't, you know, do nothing until, you know, the day at the competition. But what I did was I took some cream cheese and mixed some chili powder up in it and mixed it together really good to where you got a little bit of spicy cream cheese. Then what I did was took half of a jalapeno and I cut it in half. And I got the seeds out of it. And what I did was took that cream cheese and that sausage, mixed it together, and I put it inside of a that half of a the jalapeno.
Right.
And what I did was I wrapped that up in bacon, put a little bit of my rub and barbecue sauce on it, and threw it on the grill for a few minutes. Got it nice and warm, you know, or hot, where the bacon was nice and cooked. And that's what I turned in for anything but, and ended up getting fourth place with it. So I might try that again if I come up, you know, another contest.
Right. That sounds really good. I mean, you just had a spicy sausage wrapped jalapeno. And, you know, I love jalapenos. And before we get to Keith and Robert, you know, these jalapenos, matter of fact, we have just had a hard frost just a few days ago, and I had 5-6 jalapeno plants full of jalapenos, and I've got 2 big grocery bags full right now, and I'm really deciding, I'm trying to decide on how I'm going to put those up this year. But now that's my pepper of choice. I love them. You know, when you smoke them down, you burn them off, and scrape the burn off of them, you know, the char off of them, that's your Chipotle, but I just love any way you can do a jalapeno.
Yeah, it, you know, like I said, it was just something I threw together kind of at the last minute. It's, you know, I might actually do it for even, you know, for a party that I have at the house or something. It's kind of, you know, something quick and something I think everybody would be enjoyable, you know, eating it and stuff.
No doubt. No doubt. That sounds really good. Keith, what about you? Anything but?
Yeah. And I've done so many. I've done stuffed loins and all kinds of stuff. But one that you kind of probably knew about, sort of, and I probably would have told him by this recipe a couple of years ago, but it don't matter much more. It's kind of been stopped where I can't turn it in at most cooks, plus doing KCS and all that. But it's stuffed chicken breast.
Right.
And stuff that with spinach and ricotta cheese, pine nuts, Parmesan cheese, chop up some garlic. Of course, that old favorite, salt and pepper. He's like the nutmeg. I think that's about it. All of them down, good with some olive oil and wrap them in bacon. That don't take no time. You can grill that off maybe, 30, 45 minutes, something like that. I usually try to do it slow so I don't burn that bacon up too bad.
Right.
That's something that everybody I've ever cooked that for loves. They just love it.
Well, that sounds like a rock star idea, too. You know, guys, those are both good, good anything but category dishes, no doubt. We've got another caller on the line here, 806. Who have we got on with us tonight?
This is Lance Moore.
Lance, how you doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, we're great. We are great. Welcome to the show. Glad that you called in. Guys, this is Lance. Now, Lance, you're in Texas, right?
Yes, sir, West Texas, between Lubbock and Amarillo.
Welcome to the show. We're glad to have you. We've got Roy Powell with us tonight, Salt and Air barbecue team out of Clarksville. We've got Keith Webb, Pirate Pork, here out of McKenzie, Tennessee. We've also got Robert Taylor out of Bolivar, Tennessee tonight, Taylor Smokehouse Farms. great bunch of guys. Welcome to the show to join in. We're talking turkey. We're talking dishes. We're talking anything but categories. Let's ask, what are you going to do for Thanksgiving this year? Are you doing a turkey traditional, or what's going on?
I'll be smoking a turkey and smoking a ham. That's kind of our normal deal. We went through the frying stage for several years, and now everybody's kind of into the smoke thing, so we're doing that.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people. When you put a little smoke on meat, you just got a combination most people just cannot resist. I'm telling you. And now you're going to do it Texas style. We usually do it Tennessee style. But give us a little insight on that Texas style. What kind of wood, what are you using this year? Are you using mesquite, post oak?
No, I use oak. For the most part, oak and apple.
That sounds like a good combination. You got your heat from your oak and your apple, your sweet from your apple.
Yes, sir. That's kind of what I do. I'm a little different than most of these guys around here. Most guys out in this part of the world, they use mesquite, just like you said. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad for me.
Right. Well, you know, that mesquite, they say that if you're not careful, I don't use a lot of it, but they say if you're not careful, it'll leave a pretty rough afterbite or a strong taste to that.
Yes, sir, it sure will.
Man.
To me, I like a heavy smoke, but even mesquite is just kind of and it kind of looks like mud when it comes out of your cooker, too, most of the time.
So it's pretty dark.
Yes, sir, it is.
Well, now, refresh my memory. Now, didn't you just have a big check in front of you with a picture being made with a big check in front of you just a week or two ago?
No, not me.
Okay, I wasn't for sure. Okay.
Been a while since I've had one like that.
Yeah, me too. That's something we're all after is a big check. You know, our picture with a big old cardboard check in front of us. You know, you really hit it big when you get that big check in front of you. But,
That is it.
So you're going to smoke a turkey and a ham this year, and traditional side dishes. We're just kind of talking Thanksgiving tonight, and get some ideas. Have you got anything special you're going to have with that turkey and ham?
Oh, probably not. I mean, you know, kind of the same old deal, potato casserole, green bean casserole.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. You know, my wife's mother and them, they usually kind of do that end of it, and I'm in charge of the meat end of it, so I let that kind of do their deal, and I usually fire up the cooker.
I hear you.
That's kind of how we do it.
Well, since you're new to the show, you're our newbie tonight. We're gonna wear you out a little bit. What kind of cooker? What kind of cooker? What kind of rig you using?
I've got a homemade offset. It's on about a 15-foot trailer. It's about a 250-gallon propane tank that I built about a year and a half ago.
Right.
And
sounds good. That sounds good. And on that offset, is it pretty efficient? You know, that's personally about what I do. I built a big old tank, had a big old propane tank, and built an offset cooker with it. Learned how to weld building it, matter of fact. But,
oh, that's good.
That's what I cook with every competition, what I always have cooked with. You know, that's my grill of choice. You know, it's what I use. And I tell you, when you learn how to cook on what you made, it makes it even that much sweeter to use.
Yes,
and,
sir.
To me, if they call my name, it even makes it a little better because, you know, hey, I've made this thing. I built it. I learned how to weld building that bad boy. It's a good cooker. They know when they see that big old cooker roll in, the smoke's ready to roll, and it's going to be on. And, you know, we just have a big time, but it's what it's about. When you build your own, it makes it even that much more special. I was fortunate enough to have a shop where I could just get out there and cut, weld, and piddle and put together, and it just really turned out really well. And I'm proud of my rig. It's a good cooker, and you know, these guys, they know it when they see it. They know whose it is, and I guess if somebody stole it, it wouldn't go far.
That's exactly right. That's kind of the way it is out here in West Texas. Everybody kind of knows who I am and what I have, and it works out pretty well that way.
I understand. We also have been talking about anything but categories. I know, you know, here what we do most of the time, we've got pulled pork, which will be a shoulder or a butt. We've got a chicken category, which most of us around here does chicken thighs. And we have, you know, a rib category. It's either a spare rib cut to a St. Louis style or a baby back. You know, and then we have a backyard category, anything but what we're cooking, you know, and it's got to be a protein like a meat. But have you got a special, what category do you usually work on? What's your favorite category to cook with?
Oh, my favorite category is probably brisket. The one I probably have the best luck in is probably chicken.
Yeah.
I don't know how that is, but that's the way it usually works.
Well, you know, when we do brisket around here, it's just at KTBS events most of the time. Off these smaller cooks, these unsanctioned cooks, we don't do brisket most of the time. But at a KCBS event, brisket, you know, it's a category. But, you know, it's Tennessee. I've posted a question or two about it. Well, this is a topic we've always talked about. And brisket's down here. When you go to get one, you don't know what you're going to get if you're not prepared to go to comp like I'm usually not, you know, and I'm last minute running to Walmart or we don't even have a Sam's close, so I'm running to a Walmart or a grocery store trying to find a brisket. And you never know what you're going to get. But we usually cook, I've cooked mine. I've separated mine, and this last time I cooked one whole. And it was a rough brisket, let me tell you. But I trimmed it up, and it's killing. Look, it wasn't the prettiest, but it had a fine flavor. I mean, it would knock your socks off as far as flavor profile. But what do you do when you cook brisket? Do you cook yours whole, Texas style, or do you cook it? Do you separate the point and flat? What's up with you? Tell us a little. Give us a little Texas insight on that brisket.
Well, I got a little bit of all that. I mean, I've got a buddy that's got a barbecue shop here, and you know, he smokes his for probably 7 to 8 hours, and then we separate the points and kind of trim them up.
Right.
And, you know, generally after that, he puts them in an oven and runs them all night, just that way you don't have to stay up all night.
Right.
And I kind of started out that way out on the competition trail, and that didn't do so well for me out here. You know, I took a pretty good beating in that way. And so I kind of went back to the drawing board, and I went back to the whole brisket. And so I got to where I'll run about 250 degrees on my offset because I'm just like you. I have to cook everything kind of at the same time on mine. And
right.
I'll run about 250, and then I get to about 140, 150 degrees, and then I rattle.
Right, right.
And a little cooler than what a lot of people think. I kind of get to the, kind of a medium temp, and I'll wrap it, and I'll run it up to, you know, to where I get to, you know, somewhere between 195 and, you know, 210, depending on the, you know, the muscle. You know, when it kind of finally breaks down and it's tender, then I'll let it rest.
Right, right. Now, when you're wrapping yours, I'm sorry,
go
I
ahead.
Didn't mean to interrupt. That's
all right. Go ahead.
When you wrap yours, are you wrapping yours whole, or are you separating and then wrapping it and then finishing it off?
I'm just leaving them whole, and that way that fat kind of stuff gets in there. Generally, when I'm slicing, you know, up closer to the point part of it anyway. So, you know, to kind of get, you know, a thicker profile, you know, anymore.
Yeah.
A lot of these briskets, you know, the flat, the tail, they're so thin.
Right.
So, you know, you're so far, you know, more up into the point area of it. And I've seen guys out here, they'll actually even cut the point and run them if they're decent. And some of the guys have really good luck with it. I mean, I've had my butt whipped that way a couple of times. But, you know, I generally say right, you know, kind of right to the edge of that where I can get the thickest part of the flat out of it, you know, to where you get a profile. And,
right, right.
And that's kind of the Texas way out here.
Well, that's a good insight. That, you know, we always love to talk barbecue and love different, you know, I always love to hear everybody's different, you know, different ways of how they're doing it, you know, and, you know, might be, it, you know, they're all going to be similar, but they're in a same breath, they're a little different. And
yes, sir.
And
do you make your rub? Do you have your own rub flavors you make, or do you
rub wise for chicken and pork, I make my own rub. As a matter of fact, I just finally got it out of the co-packers, and it's actually on the market now. And I have it on the website, so like that, you can actually purchase it.
That's right.
And it's called West Texas Pitmasters award-winning rib rub. And I use it on brisket, on chicken and ribs. And, you know, I do a little bit of Kansas City stuff every now and then, so I even use it on pork. Matter of fact, I'm doing some hams right now as we speak, and it's on those hams. And got a little kick to it, got a little sweet to it. You know, it's done pretty well. I had to order 100 pounds in of it. In the beginning, and before I could even get here, I've already sold about 70 or 80 pounds of it, so I've got about 14, 15 bags of it left out of the first order, which is just remarkable to me.
That's great. I'm proud for you. I'm going to have to get some and try it. You know, I love to have guys get on here and you know, they're cooking, they're making their sauce, they're making their rub, some of them taking it to the next level and getting it marketed, and I think it's awesome. I'm a big supporter of that. You know, I just think that's the way to go. That's just, you know, that's awesome. And I definitely want to get some and try it. I want to get some sent to Tennessee, that's for sure. But anytime you want to get on here and tell everybody about that, you know, we have, and I'm proud to say, we have hundreds and hundreds of listeners every week now. And, you know, we bring these products out and we mention them. And hopefully that will even increase your sales and boost your product even that much more to get it out to, you know, just a wider market. And I'm proud that you called in. And we need to hear more about this rub. So it's sweet. It's got some heat to it. It does
work
on pork.
But, you know, that's more of anything. I mean, it's got some sweet to heat, you know, to it. And that seems to be, you know, competition-wise, it seems to be what goes pretty well. I'm going to be sending some out to Audrey. Matter of fact, I've got an ad in the Barbecue Times this month and next month. And she sent me a little deal last night wanting to do a review on it. So I'm going to be sending some out to her and let her try it. And,
well, good.
see how she likes it.
Well, you know, it's different regions, and that's what it's all about. I love to try everybody's stuff. You know, hopefully my rub and my sauce will be marketed sooner than later. I make a rub that I personally just like. You know, if you like your own stuff, you know, it's hard to use something else. But I love to taste everybody's and try to use it. So, you know, you heard of smoking guns.
Yes, sir.
You know, everybody's heard of smoking guns. Well, we ordered some here a while back, and it's good. We ordered the heat, the one that's hot, and it's a good flavor profile. I like it. But I'm not bragging or anything. I'm just thinking my rub is pretty close to that smoking gun, you know, as far as flavor profile. If I added a little more chili powder in there and a little more cayenne pepper in it, it's going to kick up. It's going to increase chili flavor. And it's going to increase your heat, you know, and it will be almost, you know, pretty close. And which I like a sweeter. I like a sweeter rub too. You know, it helps a lot. I use. If you've ever heard of Draper's barbecue sauce,
yes.
Shane's got a good
They call it mood enhancer. It's a good rub. He's got a good AP rub. You know, he's got a great sauce too. I know I've used some of it. I know Pie Report's used some of it. But we like it. You know, he's a local Kentucky guy and a fine fella, and we like his product too. And then I've used some Blues Hog, Bill Arnold, Blues Hog rub, and his sauce, and I'm a fan of that too. You know, so I love to taste all of them. I mean, anybody that makes a sauce or a rub that we can try, you know, and I'm all about promoting and spreading the word of barbecue and trying to help everybody. That's what it's all about. You know, if we all help each other, we get better every day.
Yes, sir. I mean, and it's just what you said right there. I was lucky enough. I got a company out of California called Barbecue Junction, which you've probably seen and heard about. He's going to be carrying some of it, and then I have another company in Lubbock called the Outdoor Chef. And as a matter of fact, I delivered some of it to him yesterday, and finally got it in and got it down there to him. And he carries a lot of competition stuff, and, you know, he has Cosmos and several different brands of rub in there, and I was back there kind of messing around taking samples of Cosmos his chicken rub, and my rib rub is very similar to his chicken rub.
Well, there you go. See, that's what I'm saying. You know,
that's pretty amazing.
It is, and you know, I mean, there's only, you know, when you love to cook, you've got a good taste of what's going on and a sense of what's going on. Like, hey, I could add a little more of this, or I'm take away a little of that and add a little more of this, and this is what I'm going to have. You know, that helps. That helps a whole lot when you've got that palate of flavor and that flavor profile. And I know
I know
all the guys that's on the line tonight, we're going to get them back in and join in and talk to you some. But I know Robert Taylor, he makes his own rub. Keith Webb, Pyre Report, makes his own rub. Roy Powell makes his own rub also. I think all of us as cooks, we take pride making our, you know, making our own rub. You know, it's kind of a bond between all of us, you know, rubbing. But you know, we all are constantly trying to tweak and make a better product, and that's what it's all about. And you've even took it to the next level, which is just awesome. And I just commend you for that. But
I love that. Yeah, you know, I owe a lot of that, you know, that too. And I don't know if you guys have heard him out back east, but, you know, kind of how I got into this rub thing was I had been making my own. And I had a man out of Houston, Big Ron's Rub, do some sponsoring for me for my brisket. Like I said, I was getting killed in brisket. And he kind of pulled me in and started doing a deal with me on some brisket rub. And kind of got me going on that end of it. And then one day I sent a message out to him. It's like, you know, how did you kind of get into it? He kind of gave me the insight, who to contact, and kind of how he went about it, the pitfalls. And I contacted the guy that he told me about. And about a month and a half later, here we are. I have a rub out on the market. And so it happened pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
But he's got a really good brisket rub too, and you know, like I said, I owe a lot to him about that.
Well, you know, that brisket rub, I know around here we try to hit it more savory than we do, I would say, barbecue or Tex-Mex flavor. We do more of a savory, beefy, you know, with some guys barbecue them with barbecue sauce on it, but now. Around here, mostly, I know I work that savory aspect and more of a beefy, steaky, full flavor. And, you know, we have our other Texas connection on the show ever so often, the S&S Pit Crew. Do you know those guys? Yeah, well, you know, that's about competition. We all, you know, we all buddies, and we all go to cook and have a good time and
Oh, they're great guys. They're great guys. We did a National Fans Club Challenge together this year, and they're a good group of guys. And you know, I've had him on Facebook for a long time now, and we talk from time to time. And man, he is he's a heck of a competitor.
Oh, I bet he is. I bet he is. He loves doing what he does. You know, that's what we all have in common. We all love doing what we do. And that's why we're here, and that's why we're talking about it, and that's why we compete, and that's why we're on Facebook pushing our barbecue, you know, what we're doing. And, you know, that's just part of what we love. That's who we are now. And I know, you know, Robert and Gabe, both them guys, I'm back and forth with them, talk with them all the time. And this morning when I was promoting, you know, Let's Talk Smoke show for this evening, ever, you know, if I was in competition barbecue circuit or West Coast or Tennessee Barbecue Association, they were following me right behind me. Robert was liking it, every one of them, you know, every circuit he'd like it.
Yeah, that's Robert. I mean, he lives it, and I mean, he, you know, he makes a post every morning, probably before anybody else can make a post. You know, it's always something to do with barbecue.
I know it, you know, and that's the thing about it, you know, and us, all us guys all over the country, we're here. If we travel, you know, like if we needed help in Texas, you know, we'd get on there and say, hey, we're down and we need Texas. We need help here in Texas, so-and-so, whatever city was in. And, you know, I guarantee you, a barbecuer from close by would be there to help us, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And, you know, that's the way, I think that's the way, you know, that's your whole barbecue family circuit, you know. They're all willing to help, you know, in a whole, in a general. You need help, hey, the barbecue people are going to be there to help you, and I'm a firm believer in that. So,
they are. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you on your brisket. Now, do you inject your brisket? Do you do a lot of injection on yours, or you don't?
No, I have learned how to inject. That was something else that, I mean, we didn't do a lot out in West Texas. You know, but you get into a competition, and, you know, like me, that has a regular job, you know, during the day. When you get to these contests sometimes, you know, 7, 8 o'clock at night, you know, you don't have a lot of time to, you know, to do a lot to them. So, you know, injection's a very useful tool in that. And, you know, I'll try to inject them. I'm a low and slow kind of guy. And so I'll inject it, and I'll try to you know, generally, you know, give it, you know, a couple hours to kind of soak in a little bit, and then throw it on the smoker. You know, we do a lot of what they call Lone Star Barbecue out here, and IBCS competitions. And so, you know, the one thing about that is brisket a lot of times is, you know, 3 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So it gives us a little bit of more time. But, you know, like I said, I generally like to put mine on around midnight or so, and cook it, and, you know, get, you know, 4, 5, 6 hours of smoke on it, and then, you know, wrap it up, and, you know, let it kind of sit there. And, you know, and so injection is a big part of that, and it has helped me out tremendously on my cooking.
Oh, I know it. It's a huge, I think it's a huge benefit. Keith Webb, Fire Pork, I know you inject too, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Sure do. Try to keep my flavors, like you were talking about a while ago, it's mostly beef stuff and pepper is pretty much it.
Right, a bold beefy flavor, more so than a Tex-Mex or a barbecue. You know, we're just not mopping much barbecue sauce on there, and I'm not mopping any on mine, you know, but there's a lot of guys that are doing a lot of that, barbecue and a beef brisket, but I think beef ought to be beef and like a beef flavor. Roy, what about you? You inject your briskets, don't you?
No, I don't.
You don't?
I haven't. But I think I want to try to. I'm going to try something different this next year, and I want to try to inject my briskets and see how that works out.
We use that. You have a special beef from a producer, don't you? That sponsors you.
Yeah, I get my briskets, you know, from Strube Ranch there in Texas.
Right.
You know, which is Wagyu beef, and That's where I get all my briskets from.
Right, Wagyu beef. And that's which farms is that again?
That is Strube Ranch out of Pittsburgh, Texas.
Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Yeah, they got the Wagyu beef.
Yes. Yep.
Does that have it? Let me ask you something else. Now, does that have the marbling in it? Does that have more marbling? Is it leaner? Is it more marbling? What is so?
It's a lot more marbling than you know, the regular beef. It's more, you know, they're raised on a strict diet, and which makes the, you know, more of a leaner beef, more, you know, more moisture, you know, whenever you're cooking it. And to me, it's more tastier.
Right. Well, so it's more, it has more of a butter fat content.
Yes.
So, Lance, are you familiar with what Roy's talking about?
Yes, sir. I've seen their website, and I'm familiar with the Wagyu beef. I mean, that's a prime piece of beef there, and people like Meyer Nixon and a lot of them guys, that's what they're using, and it's a great piece of meat. I'm not quite to that level yet of being able to afford that kind of meat.
No,
me
either.
But
me
I sure
either,
would love
brother.
To sometimes.
I'm
if I could,
Walmart.
I sure would.
Oh, me. I'm using Sam's Pride. I'm going to Walmart and picking me up one.
What brand do you guys have out that way? Is it like IBP or XL or?
Well,
and I'm
it's going to be XL. There will be some IBP product. You know, we have a lot of, but now I really don't know if Tyson kicks out a beef product.
Tyson's is actually IBP.
Okay, and. And then, I honestly want—I don't know if Hormel or Swift has anything in the beef. I'm sure they do. I'm just really not familiar.
They do.
I'm not familiar. You know, we do all pork pretty much. You know, that's. You know, I know a pork rib or a Hormel rib or a Swift baby back or a Swift premium or a Prairie Fresh or, you know. But as far as beef, I just don't cook. We don't cook a lot of it. Personally, I don't. Not like that. Some of the big guys.
Well, yes, I mean, like, it's like Wagyu and stuff like that. I mean, yeah, they're great products, but like I said, you know, they're very expensive. You know, like your XL products. I live here in Plainview, Texas, and we have a huge plant right here for XL. And then you go about 70 miles north, and we have a Tyson plant, and that's IBP.
Right.
And that's where we generally get, you know, all of our beef. And, you know, generally, we've had better luck with the IBP briskets than we have with the XLs. I'd say that right here, but that seems to be more of a competition brisket than what we get with the XLs.
Right, right. And what about, you know, I think S&S uses some Duroc also.
Now, and that's pork. Product.
Yeah.
And he gets them up there, you know, up in your part of the world, I believe. I believe they're Iowa or Ohio or somewhere up in there, up in the Midwest.
Roy,
he has really good luck.
Really? Well, Roy, Keith, y'all know about Duroc. Y'all know where that's from?
Yeah, I sort of know about it. I'm not familiar with where it comes.
Robert, by any chance, you know Duroc or Wagyu? Do you use any of that kind of product or?
We've actually got some competitions, though we don't have a lot of time to. We still enjoy that, but yeah, we've used the Snake River Farms as far as the Wagyu, and it's really a genetic makeup of the animal that it's a lot higher in what they call oleic acid,
right?
And it has a lower melting point. And when you get the whole point behind Kobe's beef is basically the region in which those animals are raised. But, you know, they imported them from Japan years ago, and you had the only way you can get Kobe beef is from the Kobe prefecture over in Japan. But everything else is, you know, the American version is called Wagyu. But that oleic acid that's in that fat causes it to have a lower melting point. And the thing you have to watch out for, you might get a 50-pound brisket, let's say, from IBP or somebody. Well, the same 50-pound brisket is going to cook in about a third or two-thirds of the time that as far as a Wagyu goes, it's going to cook in about 8 hours, where a normal brisket off of Angus or any other, you know, some of these Herefords, that's going to cook in about 12 hours, let's say, for a 15-pound brisket.
Right.
Brisket cooks in 8 hours, due to the makeup of that fat content. It's a much higher fat content, but the higher oleic acid is what causes it to have a lower melting point, and that's where you get those literally kind of melt in your mouth, so to speak, as far as, and they do have a great flavor. I honestly believe in the grass-fed varieties of animals, because people tend to ask you over the years, what's a deer taste like? What's a duck taste like? What's a catfish? And I relate when people talk about catfish, well, excuse me, when people talk about grass-fed beef, I relate it to a farm-raised catfish or one you get at like Tennessee River or a pond, or, you know, their flavors are exclusive to what they eat. And I like a grass-fed or, you know, one that's naturally raised, because the fat content is going to have a much more flavorful content as far as. To me, we feed a lot of flavor out of beef these days, because we send them to a feed yard to grind up, and it's a high-protein meal that they put into these animals.
Yes, that's exactly right.
When you have I liken it to a catfish. All right, if you go catch one out of Tennessee River that's fed naturally, you're going to have a much more robust, fishy meal.
Right.
Oils and things within that fish have a much more flavorful content to them than one that you're dumping a lot of high-protein feed into a pond. And people like pond-raised catfish because they don't taste as what they call fishy. And it's the meat content, is fat content, which is where your flavor is going to come from, is based on the food source in which it was raised on. And if you get a grass-fed Wagyu beef, that grass grazing is going to be a much more natural flavor in that beef, along with the genetic component of that high oleic acid content. It's just going to make for such a much more flavorful, a much more tender piece of meat that is just unbelievable when you get the joker on the plate. They are expensive, but River Farms and some of these other outfits that raise this Sakashi and this Wagyu beef, you know, it's definitely worth a shot every once in a while to go out there and pick one up and work at it. You really have to watch when you're cooking it, because if you go in there with the mindset of getting some rest and letting that jugger go for 12 hours, well, you're going to come back and it's 225 degrees. You just ruined $100 meat. Because it's going to come a whole lot quicker than the standard Angus or just the standard beef that you buy over the counter.
Man. Well, that's a lot to think about right there. You know, guys, what he's talking about, depending on beef, cook times, and the fat content, and it, you know, which that makes a lot of sense. I mean, some people might not realize that, but he hit it right on the head when he was talking about that. Brisket is a category we all like to talk about around here.
And I don't know about y'all. Are y'all getting any feedback? Have y'all getting any feedback on your line tonight?
Yes, just a little bit.
I don't know where that's coming from. I'm trying. I apologize for that. But we're working on it, trying to get it cleaned up a little bit. But, yeah, that brisket is a that's a topic we could talk about forever. Just like chicken. We could talk about chicken. That's Keith Webb's favorite topic, chicken. I think Roy Powell likes chicken, too.
All right.
No, I don't.
And Lance, right. there, your chicken category, is it half chickens or do you piece your chicken out?
No, it's half chicken, and that makes it even tougher because it's kind of hard to get everything in and clean it up and do the things that you need to do like you do in Kansas City where you kind of make it a little crisper. So, and chicken over here, that's a tough thing because, like I said, you're cooking a half chicken.
Right, you know, we've had a few places that they want both white and dark meat, but most competitions do not specify. Most of the time it's going to be a chicken thigh around here, a chicken leg. But the more you put in the box around here, the more they will critique you and take off. So, you know, we keep it straightforward and simple around here. And there's chicken thighs most of the time. And that's, you just never know how they're going to come out. Some of us cook it in butter bath, and some of us try to cook it in butter bath. And we always working it and trying to get it out a different flavor profile. And, you know, the last time I cooked chicken, I just cooked it basically like a grilled chicken. I didn't go through all that prep work. I grilled the chicken like I would do on the back deck of the house, cooking with family. And it was really good, but, you know, you just got to be careful what they're asking anymore on chicken. Now, we talked a lot of stuff tonight, and I know I've asked all these other guys about it. I'm going to ask you now. In a competition, we have an anything but category. Most of the time, it's as long as it's a protein, they're good about it. Do you have a special anything but dish you'd like to share with us?
I've done several things. I've thrown chicken in at the last minute. I've done chicken quarters and stuff like that. Or I've done I did patties one time and did okay. One of my best things, and it's kind of along the lines of one of the guys earlier where I come from, I'm originally from New Mexico, and so green chili is a huge thing out where I come from.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of people does, jalapeno poppers, stuff like that. Well, over there, I have a twist to that. I do a green chili popper where I stuff it with sausage and cheese and then wrap it in bacon. And
right.
That's always done really well. And because it's something different, you grill that up and, you got some meat in there and then, like I said, you got some cheese, stuff like that. And that's always been kind of a thing. That or even a bacon wrapped shrimp, too, also does real well out in our part of the world.
Right, right. That sounds good, too. I know we're always struggling with that backyard category, that anything but category. You know, we're trying to come up with a winner and we work on it. You know, a lot of these competitions, these guys win it, they never announce what wins it. You know, they just announce who wins it, you know. And it's always interesting to hear some of these other guys, what they like to cook, what they work on, what their specialty is, you know, as far as, you know, we don't want to get into anybody's secrets, but, you know, just in general, you know, what's going on. And we love talking cooking. And you know, the more people we talk to, the more we learn, basically.
That's exactly right. You know, and just what you said there, you know, I went to a competition earlier in the year up in Amarillo, and it was kind of, they call it kind of a cook's choice out here is what they call it.
Right.
And I really hadn't thought about it a whole lot, and we were supposed to do some we were supposed to feed the public and stuff like that too. And so I bought a bunch of chicken quarters to feed because you know that was kind of cheap, and you know you can kind of separate the drumstick off of the thigh, and you know you kind of double up your stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And they come out and say, well, you know, we're doing a cook's choice. I said, really? And I thought, man, I really hadn't thought about that. So I doctored up a couple of quarters, and you know it's kind of like what you're talking about earlier with like Blue's Hog barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
You know, I went to Blue's Hog quite a while ago for my ribs and stuff because, you know, in Texas, that's not something that's real, you know, real common. You know, we're not a lot of these guys are not a real sweet barbecue sauce kind of guys. And so I thought, well, that'd be different. And so I said, they're not one of those chicken quarters. And I thought, well, heck, I'll just doctor them up a little bit. And I threw two of them in a tray. And out here, just what you said, you know, people out here love ribeye steaks and fillets and stuff like that. And, you know, very much beef country.
Right.
And I went up against desserts and ribeyes, filet mignon. And
yeah.
We took like a not place with these chickens.
Man.
And, you know, and I had probably... You know, I had probably $1.50 invested in chicken. These guys had, you know, I'm telling how much in fillets and stuff invested. And I thought, man, we took a top 10 out of that deal. I thought, that is unbelievable.
I know it. I'm telling you. You know, on occasion I'll do a ribeye steak, and I'll do about 2 inches. You know, that's going to cost you $30 for that piece of meat.
Yes, sir.
You know, you're spending $30 on a piece of meat to win 50 or 100. Around here, that don't compute.
Same way around here, you know. I think I won $25 that day with that piece of chicken, and I thought, wow, some money ahead there.
I'm telling you, you know, I understand, and I just try to stay away from that as much as possible. Now Blue's Hog, Bill Arnold is a good friend of mine, and. And I like all his products. He's got that Smoky Mountain and the Reginald and the Tennessee Red. You know, those three sauces, you know, those are just really rock star sauces. I mean, everybody, I think, uses them across the country. He sent me a text the other night. He said, we're going to have to go in and get your sauce finished up for you. He said, I'm going to help you finish your sauce. And I make a pretty good sauce, but he texted me and said he wanted to help me. So I said, sure. You know, and you know who would turn down Bill Arnold if he make a sauce?
Oh, you're exactly right. I mean, that is great.
You know, so
he's got a heck of a sauce, and you know, even out here in Texas, you know, I've used it as far north as Amarillo and as far south as Austin, even in Kansas City, and you know, I've placed very well in ribs with this sauce, and it's kind of been my secret. I hope much of the guys I compete against are not listening to mine. don't know what I've been doing out here.
Well, I'm telling you. Well, we won't tell anybody if you don't. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm selling my rub away now, and I tell them what kind of sauce I'm doing. I mean, I'm pretty well done.
Man, no, you're just starting. It's going to be good. It's even going to be better, I'm telling you. Well, guys, I don't want to cut anybody off, but this is real quick. We got about a minute left. I mean, 2 hours has already come and gone. And I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. God bless everybody. I want everybody to say, give us a shout out before you leave. I just want to thank each one of you for calling in. I'll welcome you back again next week, next Sunday night. Have a great Thanksgiving, and I'll let you start, Lance. Give him a quick shout-out, who you are, and guys, y'all just go on and finish us out, okay?
Well, guys, I've enjoyed it. My name's Lance, and I'm from out in West Texas, and our team name is West Texas Pitmasters, and I've enjoyed it thoroughly.
Thank you, Lance. All right, Webb, you next.
Keith Webb, Power Report. You can find us all on Facebook at Power Report.
And Roy, you coming in?
Yeah, hey, this is Roy from the Salt from the Sky Barbecue. You can find us on Facebook.
Everybody have a good Thanksgiving. I've only got a month left here at Fort Campbell, so hope you can make it down for my party, Keith. I know I've already talked to Chris about it, so
we'll fill him in. We'll get him to come with us. And
yeah.
And Robert, take us out, Robert.
Yeah, this is Robert Taylor. A lot of folks call me Cousin Ed with Taylor Farm Smokehouse. You can look us up on Facebook. I got Frank Cox working me on a new website coming up pretty soon. We are a for-profit fundraising business in the art of cooking smoked meats. And anybody needs a book with us, you can look on my website, fill out a form, and give us a shout and see if we can't fix you up. But one thing I would like to say, Chris, we are coming up on the holiday season. And there's a lot of folks out there that are hurting this coming up into this holidays. And, you know, we've got a gift that we can give to folks. We do fundraisers. It helps a lot of children, a lot of organizations raise money for things that they need. But there's a lot of families out there that could just use a good piece of meat or a little something for this Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up. So if anybody's out there and you need to find out, talk to your local food bank, go to your minister's pastor of the church. And if there's anybody out there in the community that needs some help, could just use a kind word and a good piece of meat. Find it in yourself and go out there and do something good for somebody. I can tell you this much, brother. You will be blessed beyond your wildest dreams because, you know, there's nothing more special than doing something for somebody else. And we've got a gift, and I highly recommend you go out there and do something for somebody. Enjoy what you love doing and make somebody happy.
Amen.
Amen.
You said it right. That's right. That is a true statement. I want to wish all y'all a happy Thanksgiving and look forward to talking to you again and seeing